When years of time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so pure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean's dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky.
I'd like to invite you this morning over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 reads this way. It says, "While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, thanking you again for the privilege of assembling together as your body of believers here at Northwood Baptist Church. And then, Lord, once again being reminded where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, in advance, we thank you for your presence. We do ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit that guides us into your truths, Lord, to understand more about what you've given to us in salvation, and more of the blessing and the promises that you've given for us to walk in and to enjoy and to enter into. And so, Lord, bless and build Northwood for your honor and glory. And we pray, Lord, for souls to be saved. We want to reach out and be the witness you've called us to be, that we might see souls saved, baptized, and discipled for your honor and glory. So speak to us this morning. Move in our hearts and minds and in our lives, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is "The Things Which Are Not Seen Are Eternal." That's a different concept, right, that the world has. The world has a different idea. They say, get all you can all you get, and sit on the lid. Isn't that what they say? Go for the gusto. Look out for number one. And that's not God. That's usually the individual, when really God ought to be number one. He is the creator that has given to us our existence, and in knowing our sin has also come and died and bled and shed his blood on the cross and rose again on the third day like he said he would, to give us eternal life. And so we thank the Lord for that. So again, the title is "The Things Which Are Not Seen Are Eternal," or simply "Looking to the Things That Are Eternal." That's what we want to look to as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so something to consider is that those who have received the gift of eternal life from God through his son Jesus Christ, we want to be specific on that, because there is no salvation in any other name, amen, than that of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been reconciled and restored to a right relationship with God. Isn't that good? God has restored us to a right relationship. Does that excite you? A little bit? That changes our destiny. And this eternal life is more than just a promise for the future. It transforms us from the inside out, or at least has that potential, doesn't it? So it not only changes our destiny, it has the potential to change our understanding, our outlook, and our lives. And so that's, listen, I had a different outlook on life before I got saved. After salvation, God made everything brand new and gave me a purpose that didn't just end in this life, it was just getting started. Amen? And so we praise the Lord for that. So this morning, we will consider three truths that will bring God's potential of this eternal life that he's given to us into our lives. So the first thought is understanding the ministry of mercy. Understanding the ministry of mercy. The second thought is understanding the light of God shines out of darkness. Understanding that the light of God shines out of darkness. Amen?
I mean, we were in darkness and the light of God shone into our life. Now he uses this earthen vessel to shine his light out of our lives. Isn't that amazing? Thirdly, understanding that we have a treasure in earthen vessels. We have a treasure in earthen vessels. Now, salvation begins everything, but more knowledge and understanding and learning about what God has given to us gives us the potential to believe more on what God has given to us, but then we can just close the book and leave it and forget it. But if we trust what we're learning about our salvation, see, coming to church is more about just going to heaven. For the believer, it's more understanding on how to walk in this world by the light of God. We know how to walk. We can walk without God, can't we? We can live without the Lord, but we'll miss the Lord. Amen? Even as a saved child of God, we won't see the Lord working in our lives. We'll just go through life and miss out on the promises that he has for us. And God doesn't want us to miss out on those promises. Here's the question. Do we want the promises of God? Do we want the promises of God? So as we hear the promises of God that he's already given, paid and bought for, right, for us. If we will understand those truths, so we come to church, we hear those truths. So now we receive more knowledge. Now with that knowledge, we have to make a choice. Do we believe it? See, some people say they hear it, but they don't really believe it. That may have been for those people during the New Testament, but not for us. So we need to believe it, and then if we're not careful, we can hear, believe, and still not be any better for it until we trust what God's word is saying. And expect God, trusting God, to carry out those things in our life. That's a full salvation, amen? That God wants us to have. You can be saved on your way to heaven, receive eternal life, and miss out on the promised land that God... Listen, all the Israelites that came out that had the blood on their post, were they in the Lord Jesus Christ when they came out of Egypt? Absolutely. They were saved, right? They were brought through the Red Sea. But did they enter into the promised land? No. And the reason for that was, the Bible tells us, unbelief. Unbelief. Unbelief can hinder us from walking into the promises of God. So let's back up to verse 1 here, and let's understand the ministry of mercy. Listen to what Paul is saying here to the believers at Corinth. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received what? Mercy, we faint not. Question, when you got saved, did you receive the mercy of God? Yes. And have you been given the ministry of reconciliation? You sure about that now? You have to be sure about that. Have you been given the ministry of reconciliation? Are you an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me show you something. You're right here in the book of 2 Corinthians. Look at chapter 5. Look at verse 17, familiar verse. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ... That's a saved child of God. He's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we praise the Lord. Close the book. Let's go home. And we'll miss this part. Ready? And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Then drop down to verse 20. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Now, these are saved people of God. He's saying, be reconciled, be committed to him, follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice what he says here in chapter 4, verse 2. He says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. This is because we've received this ministry of mercy. Amen? God has given to us. What does that mean? Well, this ministry of mercy, we're recipients of the mercy of God. Then in turn, we're to distribute the mercy of God to others, to other believers, to our family, and definitely to the world. It was the mercy of God that brings people and brought people to eternal life, right? You saw the mercy of God and you said, why, how can I not trust the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Understanding was given. So verse 2, but because of they've received this ministry of mercy, they have renounced, verse 2, the hidden things of dishonesty. We're going to be upright. not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but have manifestation, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So I want to be upright. You know why? Because God looks into my life. What I am on the inside, I want to be on the outside, right? And if my inside is wrong, I want God to fix my inside so my outside will be right. And so because God saved me and forgave me, how should we think about others? God, may you forgive them. May you love them. Now, naturally speaking, there's the conflict, is there not? There's the battle. I mean, listen, what we're talking about this morning is real Christianity. It's something for us that we'll either take or leave it and not take it home with us. Amen? It's a new knowledge now that God gives to us, all of us. I am learning this with you, believe it or not. I've mentioned this before. You heard of practicing physicians? I'm a practicing preacher, amen? I want to practice what God, I am practicing and learning what God is teaching me that we might learn and grow together to the glory of God. Nobody knows everything about God, amen? But God has given to us things he wants us to know, learn, believe, trust in, and walk in. So notice again, verse 3, he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So Paul understood this distinction. He said, listen, those that are hearing the things of God, but and not believing those things and not walking in those things, they're lost. There's no life there. So God is saying, if we truly have the life of Christ in us, we are walking and growing in the Lord Jesus Christ every day. We are trusting more and more until the day we see Jesus, the things that are not seen that are eternal and not the things that are seen that are temporal. We're putting our faith or our trust more in the things that are of eternal bearing and less in the things that are not. I didn't say our responsibilities, I said our trusts, right? We're putting our trust more in the things that are eternal because those are everlasting. Listen, we're responsible for the temporal things, but those things are passing and they're only good in this life. But the things that are eternal, question, are they of greater value than the things that are passing away? Amen. Obviously they are. So what are we giving ourselves to? That's a good question. What are we giving ourselves to through the week? Are we saying, Lord, listen, this is a prayer. Lord, help me to understand you and the salvation you've given to me better this week. And then seek the Lord. You know, it's all we have to do. You'll be surprised on how little it takes. How much faith? Little mustard seed faith, right? Little mustard seed faith to say, God, I want to trust you. Teach me more about you. In Jesus' name, amen. And then open your Bible and see what God will show you. That's faith. Here's what faith is not. Never asking God to help you. Never opening up the Word of God with an expectation of receiving something. See, that's the difference. Listen, we are living in the end times, and we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ before we know it. So what is really of greater value? The things that are temporal and passing away, or the things that are eternal that will last forever? And so you have a decision today to make on what you're going to pursue and what you're going to trust in, whether they be the things that are temporal or the things that are eternal. And so God is saying, listen, it's hid to those that are lost that have no relationship. He says, we don't want to be in that group. Now, I will tell you, it is possible, if you trusted Christ as your Savior, to have eternal life and not be pursuing the things of God. But I can tell you by the Word of God, that's not God's plan. That is not God's will for the life of the believer. The life of the believer is to grow and to be transformed to who? The Lord Jesus Christ, to be like the Lord. And listen, Jesus Christ at 12 years old, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Didn't you know? This is what I'm about, right? The Son of Man didn't come to destroy the world or to condemn the world, but that by him they might have eternal life. So if we're a chip off the old block, we're concerned about souls. We're praying for people's salvation, be it in our family, be it our neighbors, but we are concerned about souls being saved and having eternal life. But if I never pray for them, am I really concerned? I would dare say there's a problem, wouldn't you? Something is wrong with my heart and my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ if I'm not lifting up souls in prayer to have eternal life. I am convinced everybody in this room knows people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not sure, just start asking people. You'll find out in a big hurry. Well, I think. Don't think, no. Amen? Don't think. And when you ask people, are you saved? Don't just go for this. Ready? Oh, yes, I know. I'm saved. Woo! Praise the Lord, they're saved. No, no. What do you mean by that? What do you mean that you're saved? Well, I got baptized. Is that salvation? No. No. I went through confirmation. Is that salvation? The only way that anybody can be saved is by putting their faith and trust and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of their sins. That's the first part, right? I'm wrong, Lord. I'm lost. I'm undone. You got to know you're lost before you can get saved. In fact, hold your place right here and let me show you something here in John chapter 3 just for a moment. And Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus here in chapter 3 verse 3, John 3:3. And here's what's going on in the life of Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus by night. In fact, look at verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God. And I believe Nicodemus meant it. I don't believe he was trying to butter him up. I believe he was genuinely pursuing the Lord. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You know, one thing we know that Nicodemus believed, that God was with Jesus. Is that not what it says? He believed that God was with Jesus. And so that was a good thing to him. And because he was pursuing the truth, look what the Lord did for him in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know what Jesus saw? He was pursuing God, and Nicodemus's greatest need was entering into the kingdom of God. Eternal life. And notice what the Lord says to him. In fact, listen, look at verse 4. It says, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He didn't understand what being born again was. And so this was a legitimate, honest question. What does it mean? How does that happen? You're not making sense to me, Lord. And so he tells him here, In verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So you have to be born again to have eternal life. And if somebody doesn't have a profession of that kind of faith, they've got the wrong one. Brother George, that might be offensive. Let me ask you a question. What do you think would be more offensive for them? To stand before the judgment of God condemned because we didn't tell them? Wouldn't that be more offensive? Hey, listen, I beg to differ. And with all due respect, that's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what I think. It's not what the Bible teaches. You must be born again. Jesus himself said that. So that's what's important. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank the Lord for that. Let me back you up and invite you back over to our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And so God says here to us, we've been given this ministry of reconciliation. We need to understand that. Also, listen, and these truths that unleash God's potential in our lives is the understanding that the light of God shines out of darkness. So look at verse 3 again. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded, listen, the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There is the God of this world that is working to keep mankind in darkness. And notice he says, verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." That's a good thing. And so he's saying, I want you to understand that that there's a ministry of mercy that God has given to the believers who are reconciled unto him. They've been restored. If we're truly restored and being restored to be in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're about the master's business because we know that souls are the most important thing on planet Earth. Those have eternal value. Everything else is going to get burned up. Not that we don't have a regard for the things that are temporal to a certain degree, but not above those things that are eternal. Does that make sense? And so notice what's going on here in verse 6. "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness," this is that understanding that the light of God shines out of darkness. We saw here that the gospel was hid to them that are lost, and that this light is shining out of darkness. "For God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the," listen, "of the knowledge of the glory of God." Did you see that? Remember? We're hearing, we're learning this new knowledge. Now here's the question, do we trust it? See, we can hear the knowledge and not trust it. So again, verse 6, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Whose light is shining into, it's the light of God shining into whose hearts? Our hearts. To give us knowledge. Now, here's the question, are we continuing to place our faith in the new knowledge that God has given to us every day? So, he says here, we need to understand that this light shines out of darkness. And how many of us know that we're not perfect? We're not perfect, right? We fail the Lord. But wait a minute, don't let the devil lie to you. God has chosen us to shine his light. Now, the first thing you and I know is that we're unworthy. We're unworthy. But you know what we also know? God is merciful, isn't he? Amen. And God is gracious. And God is loving. And I don't understand it either, but God chose crooked sticks like us to draw a straight line for the world to see. I don't understand it. I don't even know if I'll understand it in heaven. I don't know. But I praise the Lord. I praise God that he has made that choice in choosing us as his children. Isn't that a good thing? Last thought. Understanding we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Look at verse 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of" who? "And not of" who? Isn't that good? That's God's plan. So listen, if the excellency of the power is of us, who's missing? God's missing. But if the excellency of the power be of God in our lives, you know what we'll do? Praise you, God. We will praise the Lord. But if we're not looking for that and we're not expecting that and we're not trusting in that, will we ever see it? You got to believe God. You've got to have faith. You have to be able to trust the Lord to carry out what he's promised. I want you to know something, in case you didn't know, these are not mine. I would have never come up with any one of these. Not a one. But God did. And who are they for? Isn't that good? Listen, that's encouraging knowledge, is it not? That is encouraging knowledge. And God is saying, trust me. Ask me. And will he not answer? Will he withhold any good thing? Let me try that again. Will he withhold any good thing? Pray tell, can you tell me why? How about if he didn't withhold his only son? Will he not freely give us how many things? Isn't that amazing? So you know what unlocks the door of faith? Trusting in the Lord. You know what unlocks the promises and unleashes the promises into our lives? I believe you, God. I honor you, God, and believe you wholeheartedly. And God says, that's what I've been waiting for. Let me show you now. Let me show you. So, again, verse 7 says this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." That's the gravy, amen? Now we're going to get down to the foundation and the nuts and the bolts to understanding this. So if you believe that, then you'll believe the Lord in the next step. So we find God's purpose in using his people, that by the power, that the power may be of God and not of us, but now we enter into the realm of trials and tribulations that God wants us to trust him in, right? We can trust him. How many things can we trust God in? In everything, all things, in all things, all right? So notice this. Here it comes. Can you trust the Lord? If we say, oh, no, I don't want it, God, then we don't trust the Lord. Now, God is not saying to ask for it. God is just saying, trust me in it. And let me be the one that holds the hand on the thermostat to turn up the heat, turn down the heat, to guide everything. Amen. Trust me. Don't try to get out of the frying pan into the fire. Amen. Don't try to do that. So he says, verse 8, we are troubled on every side. Listen to this, yet not distressed. They had troubles, but they weren't distressed. You know why? Whose hands were they in? And they trusted that. They trusted the Lord. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Was Paul perplexed a little bit in prison? Distressed a little bit in prison? Wouldn't you be? But you know what? He had the love of God in him. And so he was writing letters to the churches of God to encourage them about rejoicing in the Lord. How often? Always. And so notice this, verse 9, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, because God was holding him, right? God wants to hold us as well. Verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest where? In our body. See, we hide the manifestation of the body of Christ if we don't allow the Lord and trust the Lord. How many things does God work out for our good? You mean a flat tire can be done for our... Yeah. You mean if somebody gives you what for and you don't say anything back? Yeah. We've all been there, haven't we? We've all been there. And we all will be there again. Amen? It'll happen. It's life. But can we trust the Lord in those things? And as we trust the Lord in those things, you know what? It'll be an amazing thing. The Holy Spirit will work and say, it's me. I'm glorifying myself in you to be like me, not like the world. See, the world fights back. The world retaliates. And God says, oh, don't seek out vengeance. Who does vengeance belong to? Not us. No. No, listen, we're to love mercy and to do justly and to walk how with our God? Isn't that amazing? Humbly, humbly. Now, I want you to know something, in case you didn't know. I am flesh and blood just like you. And I can walk out this door and leave the message inside the house. I can fall flat on my face if I do just one thing. And that is not look to the Lord. And maybe I should say two things. And look to myself. If I look to myself, if we look to ourselves, what do we say? Yeah, we're trusting ourselves, right? Nobody tells me what to do. You ever heard that? That's why I'm going to go join the army. Because I'm tired of my parents telling me what. How many times have you ever heard that kind of story, right? I got tired of my parents telling me what to do, so I joined the army. Brilliant. Brilliant, right? Brilliant. Because then you're going to have all kinds of people telling you what to do. At least my parents love me, amen? I don't know about a drill sergeant. They may not. So notice, he says again, verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That's the purpose, that the life of Christ might be seen. Listen, This is knowledge to help us to evaluate, to give us understanding what the Lord meant by suffering. There is no crown without suffering. The cross comes before the crown. It will always come. We're supposed to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. So is that, you can have that here, but not believe it. You can also have it here, believe it, but not trust in it. See? So can we trust the Lord Jesus Christ and not ourselves? Amen. Listen, ourselves, I'll speak for me. Myself is always in opposition to God's word. Myself, my natural man, is always at enmity, clashes with the Spirit of God. There's only one way that myself will serve the Lord, and that is to humble myself before the Lord. And what does that mean? Lord, I need you. I can't do this, but you can. I have to humble myself and trust the Lord. This is real Christianity. This is what will turn the world upside down. Do you know why? Because it is the Word of God. It is the Word of God, not of men. And so, notice what he says here, again here in verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That's us. Those are the servants of God. Why is that? For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. It will never happen. You can rationalize it. You can analyze it. You can just do all you want to it. But until we submit, we'll never see. Until we trust the Lord, we stifle the work of God in our own lives. Oh, eternal life? Absolutely. But there'll be no joy. We won't be in the promises of God. Oh, we'll know all about them, but we won't be walking in them. We won't have possession of what God called us to possess. We know it, don't we? Let me clarify it. I know it, don't I? I do know it. I do know about the promises of God, and I do know a lot of my salvation, I did not walk in them. I put on the smile because I didn't understand. Because I thought I was supposed to do it all. And now I learn who does it all. Isn't that amazing? And you know what? I'm glad to give it to him. Because if I do it, I will fail every time. And here's what happens when we're not good at something. We quit. We quit. And we no longer care about those things. And I don't know about you, but caring about the things that God cares about that are eternal, that are not seen, I think are pretty important. In fact, I dare say more important than the things that are temporal that are passing away. More important than what I think or what I feel. I want to trust the Lord. So, again, verse 11 says, For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you, or life to others. We having the same spirit of faith. Did you see that? We having the same spirit of faith. That's an important truth, isn't it? We have the same spirit of faith that God wants us to understand and to work in. So he says this. Verse 13, according as it is written, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. In other words, we are walking in what we said we believed. We are talking about what we said we believe. Notice, verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Isn't that good? Amen. We have the same resurrection even on this side of eternity. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, that's us, redound to the glory of God. That's the spirit God wants us to have. He says all these things are for us. For the believer. And this abundant grace. that it would with thanksgiving of many redound. That's worship. We are seeing God like never before, and we are praising him for doing what we know we can't. Or we can just try to do it ourselves and get nowhere fast. Never get anywhere. And God will see to it. Do you know why? God would do such a thing? Yes, he would. Do you know why? Because he won't share his glory with anyone. He'll glorify himself in us, but no one's going to say, I did it. No one's going to get up there in heaven and say, look what I... You think Paul's up there saying, look what I did for Jesus? Or do you think he's saying, look at what God did for me? Look at what God did through me. I was a murderer of the church. I wasn't just a murderer. I was a murderer of God's body. And he turned my feet around. He opened up my eyes to see the truth. And I trusted him. And he did nothing but bless me. Paul, who was the least among all the apostles, in his eyes, the least, was used the greatest. So it's not about what we think, it's about what God has said that will make the difference, if we believe him, right? So notice, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but through, by the way, listen, for which cause, because of the cause of the grace of God, we faint not. You know what God, listen, in that, do you know what it's saying? Listen, the potential there is to be distressed beyond measure and to faint. When somebody faints, do they have any awareness of what's going on? And neither will you and I concerning spiritual things. We won't see it the way God does. We won't be mightily used to, listen, here's what we ought to be seeing and here's what we ought to be pressing for, that we would see souls saved through our lives. Who's been given the Great Commission? Who? Who's us? The church. All right. How many souls are being saved? Well, that's the church. That's the pastors. That's the Sunday school. Oh, no, God. Something is wrong in my life. Listen. Does our heart even care enough to ask people about their eternal life? Does our heart even care enough that every time we're out in the public, we've got tracts to hand out because we're concerned about souls being saved like Jesus is? Do we want revival? See, oh, listen. We faint at that. Well, I didn't see anybody get saved the last time. Oh, so we fainted, right? So we're passed out because we're not giving out tracts. I want you to know I am in the same boat with you. I'm not above you. My life is just as important and just as significant in the heart and mind of the Lord to be in tune with him. And if I was in tune, listen, we're seeing a little bit of something, but I want you to know it's a fervent work, but we need God to do it. And then we'll see things. So, Lord, may you bring it upon my heart to call upon you to use who to see souls saved? Use me. You know what? That's my cry to God. Lord, souls to be saved and to be baptized here at Northwood Baptist Church through me. Well, that's right. Yeah, that's your job, preacher. No, it's ours. It's ours. And so forget everything else, not really forget everything else, but set everything else aside. And Lord, how about using me to tell people about eternal life that they might get saved and that I will see that. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Right? The fields are white unto harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth more laborers into his fields that are white unto harvest. Send me. Send us, God. Listen, do you think God would love to hear that from his children in this day and age? Do you think that will please the Lord and glorify God? for us to genuinely say, Lord, I don't want to just, that sounds good, preacher. No, I really want you, Lord, give me the boldness to hand somebody a track. You don't have to lay out a full discourse on salvation. Those tracks have the plan of salvation. But at least give me the boldness to say, I'd like to give you this. However the Lord leads you to say it. Don't say anything. Just say, there. However, you and the Lord, he'll tell you what to do. You think that'll please the Lord? And then, Lord, help me not to forget to do it. I'll let you in on a little secret. I was having a great day, and I was handing out tracts. And I went from one place to another place, and then I went into another place, and there was a golden opportunity. I left the stinking tracts in the car. And I said, oh, Lord, that was so perfect. So he said, why don't you go ahead and get one in the car and go back and give it to him? So that's what I did. And you know what, the guy, you never know what to expect. Most of the times people are fairly receptive. Thank you. I get a lot of thank yous. And this person said, I really appreciate you giving that to me. But I'm Muslim. And I said, oh, but more important than being Muslim or being a Baptist is having eternal life. That's part of God's word that tells you how to have eternal life. Would you like to read that? He says, I'll take it. He had the gospel in his hands. But I could have been thinking about a million other things and never even been one bit concerned for him. Just in case you wonder, it wasn't me. It was God bringing it to me as he will bring it to us to think about those things if we'll ask him. That was because I said, God, use me. Use me, Lord, not somebody else, not the missionary overseas. Use, by the way, if we won't tell people across the street, what makes us think we'll tell people in a foreign land and be genuine before the Lord? Send me, God. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed. How often? Isn't that good? Lord, renew that inward man. For our light affliction, you know, when we get to heaven, if we look at it from an eternal perspective, everything that we go through in this world for what we're going to face in eternity is a light affliction. I've got news for you. Even those that will wind up in hell, everything they go through in this world, they will wish they had it again instead of what they're going to have in hell. That ought to be a sobering thought. Lord, may they not go there. Lord, may you let me be a witness to them that they don't have to go there. He says, for our light affliction, verse 17, which is but for a moment, is that the truth? Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I didn't say that. God did. And here's the focal point. Ready? Verse 18. While we look, how should we look? What should we be looking at? While we look, not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Why? For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Do you believe that? Are we going to trust that? Then we'll say, Lord, do something different in me. We're not good just the way that we are. Lord, I need to be telling people about Jesus. I need to be fervently praying. I need to be concerned about the things that are eternal. And here's the truth, Lord. I need you to show me how to do that. I need you to guide me and live through me. Wasn't that his promise? That's what the Holy Spirit's all about. Live through me. And God says, hey, now we got our eyes on the Lord. And now we can walk into the promises of God and enjoy the Lord and our salvation and times of worship like never before, if we'll have it. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne, thanking you again, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I pray that you would take the words, Lord, from your word and embed them in our hearts and minds. Lord, that we would not just know about them and believe them, but trust in them. Lord, may you do a work in our hearts, in our lives, that we might truly trust you and that you would truly live out your will in our lives. Bless everyone for being here. And if there's one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, Lord, may they know I'd be glad to talk with them, that I might show them from your word what they must do to receive the gift that you've already bought and paid for. Bless the invitation, Lord, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.